2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 at KSL. I'm Maria Chalaos, and today for Jeff Kaplan, mostly cloudy skies and 93 degrees. KSL's top story this hour. The CDC is recommending fully vaccinated people and kids wear their masks inside if they live in a high transmission area. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the Delta variant is the prime driver.
In rare occasions, some vaccinated people infected with the Delta variant after vaccination may be contagious and spread the virus to others.
The CDC is also recommending everyone in K-12 schools to mask up indoors regardless of their vaccination status. Another institution is requiring vaccinations. The nation's largest university system says all of its faculty, staff, and students must get vaccinated right away for the fall or they won't be allowed on campuses. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
All of the campuses of the California State University system had said vaccinations would be required once the FDA gave the vaccines full approval and they were no longer under emergency use authorization. Now the Cal State system is changing that to say because of the Delta variant spreading rapidly in California that all faculty, staff, and its 500,000 students must be fully vaccinated to be on campus by September 30th. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
And President Biden says he's considering a vaccine requirement for all federal employees. KSL News Time, 4:31. The mayor is calling it a 500-year storm. Cedar City is assessing the damage and cleaning up after yesterday's deluge of water made for some massive flooding. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke has the story.
2 inches of water in about an hour's time brought floodwaters to many areas, damaged homes and businesses, and displaced some 200 students at Southern Utah University. The mayor says crews have been working to reopen roads that have been covered in debris. Both Cedar City and Iron County have now declared a state of emergency.
More rain is in the forecast through the rest of the week. The families of 8 people who died in Sunday's massive pileup on I-15 are now fundraising and making funeral plans. Meanwhile, investigators are trying to put together the pieces. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards has the latest.
They believe there was one crash blocking the road, then several other crashes behind it, but the worst was the stopped semi and the vehicles that hit the back of that semi-truck. Utah Highway Patrol Sergeant Cameron Roden told KSL's David Ujanovic show that they don't have the entire puzzle put together yet.
We're still looking into seeing what, you know, people did that played a part in this crash. With low visibility like that, what people experienced there is a very, very dangerous situation.
8 people died from 3 different vehicles. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
The U.S. Capitol protest.
The Department of Justice now says 6 former Trump Department officials, justice officials, can participate in Congress's investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. ABC's Catherine Falders begins our team coverage.
The move is likely to remove a significant barrier that Democrats faced during Trump's presidency when the Justice Department backed the White House's efforts to prevent any DOJ officials from testifying before their Democratic congressional committees. No Trump-era DOJ official has yet indicated that they have agreed to testify in the congressional probe. Some of those who had been asked to testify had said they would need authorization from the Justice Department. Catherine Falders, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
Senate leaders talked about the testimony this afternoon. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The testimony we heard from our brave Capitol police officers was powerful, harrowing, and necessary for the country to hear.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he didn't watch it.
I was busy doing work. I serve in the Senate.
Congressman Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, also said he was unable to watch any of the hearings, saying he was stuck in back-to-back meetings. And as the committee held its first hearing, the Justice Department charged more people who joined in the riot. ABC's Aaron Katursky continues our team coverage.
While officers delivered emotional testimony about the assaults they endured January 6th, prosecutors charged three more alleged rioters, including Samuel Lazar, who's accused of spraying officers with an orange chemical irritant, temporarily blinding at least one. Court records included photos of Lazar at the Capitol with tactical gear, a radio on his vest, and screaming into a red and white bullhorn. F the tyrants, he's quoted saying. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. There are now more than 550 people charged in the investigation. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
About a third of the way through the competition, the U.S. holds a commanding lead in the overall medal count at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. ABC's Jim Ryan has the latest medal count.
With gold medals in swimming, shooting, surfing, and fencing, silver and bronze in everything from diving to dressage, Team USA has stacked up 25 medals altogether. The next highest is China with 21, followed by Japan at 18. But strong performances by host country athletes have given the Japanese a lead in the gold medal count at 10. The U.S. and China are tied at 9 gold medals apiece.
No Utahns have won any medals yet, but swimmer and Harriman native Ryan White will swim for his first Olympic medal in the 100-meter backstroke on Monday night. Ricky Meese, tell us about the problems.
Well, we have this vehicle fire. It's in the cleanup stages. They're opening up those right lanes of traffic. It's in Parley's Canyon. Eastbound I-80 near Lambs Canyon and the backups it was causing are clearing. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And coming up on Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, how much would you pay for a water bottle? I know I've paid quite a hefty price at some resorts. Jeff Kaplan's going to talk about it coming up next in his Minute of News.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.